Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Thursday today. Some things going on yesterday that I'll be talking about. A lot of news, got a lot of articles for you guys today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Awesome. Blessed, buddy. I mean, we've had like 3 weeks now with clear blue skies, and I tell you what, life is good. I love it. So what's your first story, bud?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I wanted to address here is you guys probably already saw this. In a bipartisan meeting with lawmakers yesterday, Trump said quite a few things that I'm not in agreement with. I'm not sure the premise of what he's speaking these as far as if he's trying to make them make the Democrats basically capitulate to what he's wanting to do and playing essentially rope-a-dope with them or something. He first asked Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's like the queen of the assault weapons ban, if she would add it in to the new school safety bill that they're working on. He's going flip-flopping on a lot of stuff here. He also campaigned against expanding background checks, yet yesterday he showed interest and Machen's background check gun controls and asked him to put them forward. He also, again, like I said, asked Dianne Feinstein to bring her assault weapons ban in. I don't know what's going on. He also went to say when Pence was discussing about allowing, making sure everyone had due process so that no one's rights were trampled, when he was talking in reference to the mental health gun confiscation policy that California has that I do not agree with, Pence went on to say the ability to go to the court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms but any weapons is crucial, making sure due process is there. Then Trump responded. He said, or Mike, you take the firearms first and then you go to court. Trump said, I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. To go to court would take too long. Take the guns first, then go through the due process later, which is exactly what California has started to do now. He's getting a lot of backlash from that, from the NRA and from a lot of the Second Amendment people. Some people are saying the comment was taken out of context. I don't see how you can take that out of context very far, but again, there is also a possibility that he may be trying to play strategic gun war with the Democrats right now to make them capitulate, to get CNN and all these news media anchors to shut up and stop running their big mouths and get everything to calm down and then turn around and allow all this stuff to fizzle out. I'm hoping that's what he is doing, because if he actually really does push this stuff through and it goes through, we got a serious issue in this country as far as with the Second Amendment, because this is what I've told you guys before, and this is what I talked to Dad about earlier. Right now, if they did supposedly a very aggressive assault weapons ban, when they couldn't confiscate the weapons, they never even go that route, that'd never get passed. But if they did something similar to 1986 machine gun bill, and they said, well, basically, no assault weapons that they put in the bill, which is over 200 different firearms, semi-automatic sporting rifles that are magazine fed is actually the proper name for them, but for sake, what they call them is the assault weapons. If they did that, it wouldn't really affect us right now. It wouldn't really affect me. It wouldn't really affect Dad. We have like 300-something million AR-15s in the country, AK-47s, all kinds of different large-capacity, sporting rifles. So it wouldn't really do much. It would shoot the price up of them up very quickly. However, we wouldn't see much of an issue with that for the time being. But what we would see in the next 20 to 30 years, the same thing we're seeing now with the 86 ban, is that parts, trigger groups, machinery, different replacement parts would start to become very scarce and very difficult to find, because no longer would you be able to go buy a new flash hider or go buy a new trigger group for an AR-15 or go buy replacement springs that were newly manufactured. You'd essentially have to go back and buy stuff that was pre-2018, which is exactly what we've run into now in 2018, because this would take it a step further, not just banning fully automatic weapons, but any and all types of magazine-fed sporting rifles. So essentially, by 2030, with the UN treaty wanting to come to pass by then, and a few years after that, these guns would essentially start becoming antiques that not only would you not be able to repair and actively train with them on a regular basis, but you really wouldn't be able to afford to shoot them if they were to break because of how expensive it would become. This, in my opinion, is exactly what they're doing. They've been shipping it the Second Amendment since 1934 when they enacted the Class 3 in the NFA and the ATF. 1968, 1986, 2018, now as far as what they're pushing, these are all chipping against the Second Amendment at an overall end goal of completely restricting and banning private ownership of any type of significant weaponry in the United States of America. So again, I really hope Trump is playing ball with these guys and he's playing chess and they don't see what he's doing. That's what I'm hoping for right now. That's definitely what I'm praying for.
Okay. Every time I say something about Trump that's not like everybody's happy, happy side, I get emails about, well, why are you bashing Trump? Yeah, I'm not bashing Trump. I'm not going to comment on this. I think he said enough. Let's see what he's going to do, and we'll see how this shakes out. By the way, David Hogg vows not to return to school until lawmakers pass gun control. The little pukey little punk 17-year-old Hogg, Parkland School shooting survivor, supposed shooting survivor, says he will not return to Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School until more gun control is passed. He made these comments Sunday during a gun control rally held at the Temple B'nai Abraham in Livingston, New Jersey. I guess Hogg must be Jewish. The New Daily News reports that Hogg said, "I am not going back to school on Wednesday until one bill is passed." Okay. He did not specify which law he wants the most, only that he's not going back until or at least one law garners the support of lawmakers. Well, of course, I think this guy transferred into this school last fall after he's been involved in acting lessons, apparently, or whatever. And his son, his father, supposedly an FBI former worker. Who in the world knows? I just don't know how in the world a little kid like this, well, I guess I know how. I mean, he's been pushed to the top of the Democratic Party at this point as a spokesperson. They're probably grooming him right now for running for Congress and doing all these little things like they like to do. This kid just really, to me, he's a little 17-year-old punk who wants to run his mouth, who has no idea what he's talking about. What do you think about this, Austin? What do you think about Hogg not going back to school until something happens, something gun control gets passed?
Well, it's easy to not go back to school that you probably weren't going to in the first place. Oh, did I just say that? I don't know what this kid's done. All I know is I went on his Instagram right after the shooting, and he's got very strange Instagram page. He was in California all up until last summer. He's got an ABC News anchor. He's on ABC News interview about a stupid boogie board. Total softball pitch as far as the interview. It was literally a cake interview. It may seem like they were trying to see how he would respond and how he would handle his first interview. Then all of a sudden, he just miraculously shows up in Florida out of nowhere with no explanation and supposedly has been going to the school since the fall, has been involved in the media over there, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, has his first interview after the shooting and literally looks like a complete and total blithering idiot. Can't keep up what he's trying to say, stuttering, looking to the left, can't keep up with his lines, acts completely like he can't even, like he's trying to remember a movie that he watched a month ago and wasn't even at the school. Now he's literally turned into this like online famous celebrity. He's supposedly like the go-to guy for gun laws and statutes now, even though he's supposedly some 17-year-old little punk. I don't know what the deal is this kid. Everything with this kid smells fishy. There's nothing legitimate about him that I have found at all from the very beginning. And now all of a sudden, like you said, he's saying he's not going to go back to school. If I was in school, I'd say, okay, that's fine. Guess what? You won't graduate from high school. Go get your GED, little punk. That's my response to him. I'd say, don't come back to school here. I really don't care. It is not going to affect me one way or another if you don't go back to school there. However, if he was some type of cloak student there, as far as, or if he was somebody there that was basically under the table, supposedly going to school there, but actually wasn't enrolled. Now, it's very easy for him to say, I'm not going to go to school there until they pass gun law. Y'all all should follow me, and have this whole following now of students that are basically going to drop out of the school until there's gun legislation passed. I don't trust this kid. He stinks to high heavens. He seems to me like he was a total plant since the fall last year in that school, if he even was truly enrolled in that school. I don't like him at all. Nothing about him seems legit one bit. And now we have this incident that happened yesterday in Georgia, which seems to be very oddly as well. A Georgia teacher was arrested after firing a gunshot alone in his school classroom by himself. The armed high school teacher, that wasn't even supposed to have a firearm on campus because it's a gun-free zone, in Georgia barricaded himself alone in his classroom, then fired a gunshot when the principal tried to open the door. No one was seriously injured. The instructor was arrested. The guy was Jesse Randall Davison, 53, a social studies teacher at the school. Apparently, when the kids tried to come into the class, he locked the door and would not let anybody in. When the principal arrived and tried opening the door, he discharged a firearm basically into the wall, and the school obviously went into lockdown. Police showed up. Then he let them in. He was arrested. Has no explanation on why he did this now. Very, very strange situation to me, especially with what's going on. This another incident seems to me like total sabotage of the teacher armament option that we've been trying to talk about. Now they're going to say, see, this is what happens when That's people right. that are not mentally capable of having a firearm come into the school. He could have killed a student. This is so oddly timed. This is a situation that's like never happened before. Teacher barricades himself in the room, has a negligent discharge into the wall, and then has like no explanation why he locked himself in the room and shot the wall, and they're not even letting him talk or interview or anything now. Really weird to me, because right now we have Kentucky School District now has unanimously voted to arm teachers for school safety. Kentucky Pike County School Board voted to work with the Pike County Sheriff's Office to train and arm teachers for school safety. Now another Texas school district is now going to arm the teachers there. The school district joined nearly 200 other Texas school districts in arming their employees to protect students under the Guardian program. The Fayetteville Independent School District announced this. Signs have gone up now at the school stating, please be aware that some of the staff at Fayetteville ISD may be armed and will use whatever force is necessary to protect all of our children. Those signs are now posted on the outside of the school and on the property everywhere. And just to make sure everybody knows that we're not handing guns to teachers so they can run around and act negligent with them, they noted that these guardians that are in this program now will be undisclosed staff members to the students. So the students will not know if they're armed, which is good, so there will not be any issues where they can try to point something out. They will be staff members who volunteer for the program and will have a right to carry a concealed handgun on school grounds. He emphasizes that these hand-selected school board approved guardians must hold an active license to carry permit in the state of Texas and undergo rigorous vetting. They must pass a series of requirements including police grade psychological testing, qualify annually with the handgun they're carrying, comply with and pass any and all random drug testing, and be trained heavily in tactics that deny intruder entry into a classroom or facility. They went on to say that the goal of the program was not to create some vigilante fire team teacher squad. He said the guardians are a protection for each and every student in the school and intends to utilize the guardians as a backup to the normal lockdown procedure. He said this is designed to empower certain teachers and staff to fight back in a worst case scenario. He said we have had numerous folks on staff that have military backgrounds. Everyone here in the school believes in the sense of protectiveness of our kids. Each one of these kids is ours, and we will protect them like so. So Texas is playing no games with this. They're going right out there and saying, we're going to do this preemptively right now. We're not even going to wait for anything to pass. We're going to do this. School board's passing it. Teachers are passing it. Students are passing it. Teachers and parents are passing it. So I like the fact that they're getting ready to do this now, Dad, just for the fact that there needs to be secondary spaces there to protect these kids, secondary steps besides waiting on the sheriff's department, like in Broward County, who decided they didn't even want to go into the school. Four of them stood outside by themselves and basically picked their nose and waited there since, in my opinion, they had stand-down orders. And I still am wondering why nobody is calling out Sheriff Israel for any of this stuff. Nobody is calling him out as far as on the government level or the presidential level. He needs to be lambasted on public television right now and being asked these very specific questions that I brought up yesterday and the day before on why he has been so negligent and derelict in his duty duties to make sure his sheriffs do not act improperly like they did at the shooting a couple weeks ago, Deb.
I'm going to make a comment that I can't vet, that I'm not even going to say is real. I'm just going to basically let it go. But I'm telling you guys that I've got this from one source now, and I'm not going to say it's real. It's probably not. It's probably incorrect. I want to clarify that. But this is what one author is saying. He's saying that basically that this shooting event by the U.S. in the U.S. is turning into a major disaster for this Rothschild-side Zionist group and their propaganda media. As the story unravels, despite numerous attempts by CNN and Google to censor the truth about the crisis actors, etc., this false flag attack was predominantly the Jewish Parkland High School, whose victims. Now, this is where I don't agree with this because I can't vet this. Now, you can do it yourself, but I'm saying that this is probably wrong, but I'm going to read it to you. He says, these victims, by the way, according to public records, don't exist. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. In other words, what he's saying, they can't find birth certificates. And so I don't know what the world that means. I think he's absolutely nonsense with this. I think he's basically full of garbage. And I believe that this can't be that big of a staged event. So I don't believe that. But the thing about it is, I told this to Dave Hodges on Sunday night because of what happened at Sandy Hook. I told Dave Hodges, I said, it took 2 or 3 years for the entire disaster that was Sandy Hook to end up doing what it did. They kept the body bags in the schools kept the bodies laying in there for over 24 hours. Nobody's going to be allowed to basically have an independent forensic team come in and analyze anything. The building's going to be completely destroyed, just like they did Sandy Hook. And the whole thing about this is so strange to me, because I believe this was a real shooting. I believe that. And I believe that real people died. But the craziest thing to me, all of this is that, you know, we thought the same thing with Sandy Hook. We thought the real people died. And then basically the guy wrote the book on it and said nobody died at Sandy Hook. And it was a giant psychop is what it was. Now, if they killed people in the school, which I believe they did, you know, my condolences go out to the family again. But now I'm saying that authors are already starting to write out in their essays and in their blogs that they don't believe that happened. That we're going to have this is another full-blown false flag. I mean, think about this for a second. The teacher goes out into the hallway. They were told that police were going to be there shooting blanks in the hallway. But I mean, who in the world has drills like that? I mean, I've never heard of drills like that. And she walks out in the hallway. The guy sees the teacher. This guy's a skilled marksman, supposedly. He shoots at the teacher, grazes her arm. Now, whether he meant to graze her arm or shoot her in the chest, I don't know, but it seems like he sure was a good shot for everybody else. She runs back inside because she wasn't supposed to be in the hallway to protect her students. And then all of a sudden, all these other things start to transpire. I mean, this whole thing, these people, they absolutely nauseate me, Austin, because they've got the truth so twisted up into a knot that nobody knows how to unravel it. And I told Dave Hodges on Sunday night, I said, I believe people died, Dave. But in 3 or 4 years, if we found out this was another giant false flag and nobody died, I don't think anybody in the alternative news would be surprised because of all the stuff. But I don't believe that. At this point, I still believe kids died in this. And again, my condolences to the family and to the children. But I mean, all of this stuff. No medevac helicopters again. The bodies were in there for over a day. No forensic evidence going to be able to be shown by any independent forensic teams. I mean, you know, I didn't see a list of the kids anywhere as far as the ones who died. I didn't see a list of the funerals that were being done for these kids. I didn't see anything, Austin. And so a whole thing about it is that we've got this major, major psychop going on in the United States now, where William Casey said that we'll know that we've done our job at the CIA with everything that every American believes is a lie. I mean, this is unbelievable how this is actually going on. So again, I'm going to qualify one more time. I quoted you another person. I'm not even going to give him the credibility by giving you his name. I think it's false information at this point. But alternative people are already coming out and saying this because this whole story is getting so convoluted and so twisted. We know out of the 50 people or so who died in Las Vegas, they said they only autopsied half of them. Now, what the heck happened to the rest of the bodies? They're telling us that Paddock had brown eyes, but he had blue eyes. I mean, what the heck was all that about? I mean, that whole thing with Vegas got swept under the rug. When the alternative media jumped all over that and started calling nonsense, I called nonsense the first day I heard about it. I told you the first couple of days, I said, this is a military strike, a CIA, Mossad. They were using helicopters. They were using drones. They were using something. There's no way that one guy shot 500 people from an elevated position that far away with a .223. Not possible using a bump stock. Not possible. Impossible. He'd get a Congressional Medal of Honor if he was in a military situation doing that with foreign foreign troops because of the this is impossible. It can't be done. So we call that out to start with. I don't know how many people died in Las Vegas. We know that there were crisis actors on staff there. We know there were wound makeup people that were there. We know they were running a drill again, like they were running a drill here. All of this stuff nauseates me. I don't even like talking about it. By the way, blood drinking, soul cooking, party man, John Podesta has issued a warning to John Kushner. He says, quote, "You better start wearing Kevlar." Former campaign chairman for the Hillary Rodham's failed presidential campaign, soul cooking buddy John Podesta commented on the latest news about Jared Kushner. "He better start wearing Kevlar on his back," Podesta commented about Trump's son-in-law after reading a Washington Post story filled with details about his conversations with foreign officials at the White House. Sources within the White House expressed skepticism that Kushner was conducting private conversations with world officials as foreign countries attempted to use him to manipulate the Trump administration. I have been calling that out for a year. A spokesperson for Kushner's lawyer dismissed the news as unnamed sources peddling secondhand hearsay with rank speculation. I like that, by the way. Unnamed sources peddling secondhand hearsay with rank speculation. That's probably what my little thing from the guy who said that there nobody died down there in Miami. It's probably unnamed sources peddling secondhand hearsay with rank speculation. Podesta suggested that leaks were coming straight from the White House, stabbing Kushner in the back. Podesta worked as a senior analyst advisor in the Obama White House, as well as the soul cooking party of Bill and Hillary. I'm adding that. He would have likely served in the Hillary Clinton White House, but lost the presidential in 2016. Now, also, one thing that Podesta did, and probably the only thing that he did that I thought was pretty good, is he was sad when he got out of the White House because the White House did not have full UFO disclosure to the American population about the influence of the UFO and the aliens on the planet, which we would call the fallen angels. Because Podesta is obviously involved with a lot of this weird stuff because of his soul cooking, blood drinking parties. So, but there you go. So he's now warning Jared Kushner, Podesta is, to watch his back because of what happened to him with Russia. Now we know that Kushner's status has been basically downgraded. And personally, I told you this already. I think that Kushner is working through the Mossad, where the Mossad, and giving out all of the top intelligence from the United States into a mainstream pipeline straight over to the Mossad. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on. I mean, there's been some weird stuff with him from the beginning, and there's no doubt about it. There's some weird stuff with him. Also, too, I thought this was funny, as all the people are trying to push gun banning, Representative Thomas Massie, who's a Republican out of Kentucky, he introduced legislation this week to lower the legal minimum age for handgun purchases to 18. He said he observes that the age of 18 is a threshold where one has the right to exercise his right to vote, enlist in the military, or to be drafted, thereby making an additional wait for 3 more years for Second Amendment rights arbitrary at best. Massey's bill is titled the Second Amendment for Every Registrable Voter Act. Now, I have a pretty strong feeling that this is going to go absolutely nowhere, especially with the situation that we're in and the all the pushing that we're seeing for the gun confiscation now and gun restrictions. However, I did get humor out of that because I like the fact that he's at least being proactive, and not only is he just standing there saying, "I don't agree with what you guys are doing, I'm going to put in my own bill now and try to run it through that basically completely opposes your bill." So I have to give Thomas Massie the kudos on that for standing up. Also, to this article, which you guys are not going to be happy with me on this one, as you know, I told you yesterday that Dick's Sporting Goods would never get my business anymore. They are no longer going to carry any semi-automatic sporting rifles that are magazine fed. They're also not going to allow anybody under the age of 21 to buy ammo, nor are they going to allow anybody to purchase any firearm unless you're over the age of 21. Well, I'm not going to support them with my money. If they're going to blatantly try to violate my Second Amendment rights when I shop there, I don't see a reason for me to give them money. Next one that just hit the list yesterday, Walmart has now announced that not only will they no longer be selling rifles as of 2015, they already cut AR-15 magazine fed rifles, anything out of 2015. Now they will no longer sell any rifle whatsoever to anybody under the age of 21. They will also be discontinuing the carrying of any airsoft or toy rifle that looks like an AR-15. They went on to say, in light of recent events, we've taken an opportunity to review our policy on firearm sales. Going forward, we are raising the age restriction for purchase of all firearms and all ammunition to 21 years of age or older. They report that Walmart also ends sales of all airsoft guns that can resemble any type of assault rifle, and they are ridding the shelves of any toy rifles that resemble AR-15s or AK-47s. Like I mentioned a minute ago, they stopped selling magazine-fed sporting rifles in 2015. They already do not sell handguns except in Alaska, and they do not sell high-capacity magazines anymore. So as much as I'm going to say it now, I will be doing my business somewhere else. I never shopped at Walmart that often, but from now on, I will find another place to get what I need. If they are going to be this disrespectful to the civilian population of the United States, so now if an 18-year-old goes in there and wants to buy birdshot for his 12-gauge, or wants to buy 308 ammo for his bolt-action rifle to go deer hunting, he is now no longer going to be able to legally do so at Walmart. If they don't want his business, that means they don't want my business. I have given them a large amount of business over the years in ammunition purchases because they usually have very, very good prices, and I've gone in there and literally stockpiled on the ammunition from them before. However, I will guess I will have to do my business elsewhere, Dad, as these guys do not value the Second Amendment, which means they do not value the Constitution, which means they do not value anything in the Bill of Rights or our rights as American citizens. So, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, you guys want to make a point and prove it. You guys made it. You pretty much galvanized just about everybody I know that will make a stand with the Second Amendment. So, good luck. Probably won't hurt your sales with me doing it, or 20 of my friends doing it, or 20 of their friends doing it. But if 100 people start doing it, and 1,000 people start doing it, and 5,000 people start doing it, it will make a difference in their bottom line, and will prove to these guys that we have to have a line in the sand, guys. We can stop. We have to stop capitulating to this nonsense. Every time something happens, every time there's another gun law, every time there's another company that says, well, we don't support guns, we don't support concealed carry, we don't support this, we don't support that, and we all go, well, you know, they kind of have this, or they kind of have that, and I don't mind it. No, guys. Where do we draw the line in the sand? Do we draw the line in the sand when Walmart starts saying, if we see anybody that's on our premises and they have a gun sticker in their vehicle, we're calling law enforcement on them immediately? Or do they say, if we see you walk in and we have thermal body imaging cameras in our store and we see that you're carrying a firearm on your person, we will have you arrested and thrown out of there and taken to jail on felony trespassing charges with a firearm if we catch you doing that? Where's the line going to be drawn with these companies before we stop supporting them with our dollars, Dad? And if these guys want to come out now and start saying this before there's any type of legislation that's even on the books that are justifying this, that just goes to show me that they're full-blown globalist-controlled companies, which we already know that with Walmart, and I don't want them getting a penny of my hard-earned dollars, Dad.
Well, you know, Austin, a lot of things have been said over the years about how Sam Wall started Walmart down there in Arkansas. And a lot of things have been said about Bill Clinton when he was governor of Arkansas and how they were basically supplying the MENA drug cartel with drugs out of Arkansas and how they were basically run slinging dope. And all kinds of things have been said about Arkansas. And you watch that movie with Tom Cruise that came out last year. That was actually a pretty good movie. So, I don't know. All I know is this. If a kid's 18 years old, we will hire him to carry an M16 fully automatic gun, Y rifle, and we will put him in the Afghan poppy fields to guard the heroin production. We will allow him to get addicted to Afghan heroin, allow him to get addicted to poppies or whatever they want to make out of that, any kind of other drugs from that mess. And then we will basically train him to be a killer, and then we'll bring him home and put him under some type of mental disorder, which is hundreds of thousands of troops that have come home with post-traumatic stress syndrome. But he was young enough, willful enough, strong enough, and bright enough when he went there at the age of 18 to carry a weapon. Now, why in the world can't a kid who's 18 years old buy a rifle? I have no idea. And right now they can, and most of the states are still legal. But I mean, why would they possibly do that? Especially, it's just a slap in the face of our veterans. Let's say a kid comes over at 18 and he gets injured and he's okay. Now he comes home, but he can still go hunting with his mom and his dad. He's an injured vet. He's an injured vet. He's 19 years old. He's missing a hand or missing a foot, stepped on a landmine. And he goes to Walmart and says, I want to buy some 308 ammo to go deer hunting this weekend. I'm going with my dad. You can't buy ammo, but I lost my foot. I'm 19. I lost it in Afghanistan. We don't care what you did in Afghanistan, boy. You know, we don't care. Yep. You can't buy any ammo here. That's what Austin's talking about. And the guys, this is a major problem. Okay, by the way, are teen neurological development disorders caused by vaccines and other toxins being masked by Big Pharma as a mental health disorder? This is from Kennedy again to the World Mercury Project. This is a good article. Related epidemics, teen mental health crisis and neurodevelopmental disorders. It has been never been easy to be an adolescent, but by the look of things, 21st century teenagers are having a harder time than ever. One contributing factor that the public health agencies and media seem most willing to discuss is the ballooning epidemic of mental health problems in teens. Meanwhile, an equally grim developmental disability crisis has already been unfolding for years, affecting at least 1 in 6 American children, but gets little attention. Officialdom's subtle sidelining of developmental disorders such as autism in favor of focus on mental health is somewhat baffling, that researchers frequently use in terms of neuropsychiatric. This is particularly the case when they refer to diagnoses such as ADD, autism, and other behavioral disorders. In fact, one of the most credible national surveys, as cited by the teenage mental health crisis, basically shows that there are multiple disorders that are hitting all these teens all at once, and that half, 49.5% of U.S. teens, 13 to 18, suffer from at least one mental disorder. I'm going to read that over again. 49.5% of United States teenagers ages 13 to 18 suffer from at least one mental disorder. Guys, that's nuts. This was conducted with over 10,000 teens from 2001 to 2004. The survey found that these teens suffer from these mental disorders listed out of different anxiety disorders. The age of onset for disorders often preceded adolescence by many years. For example, half of the affected adolescents developed these anxiety disorders by the age of 6. Additionally, the impairments were often severe, ranging from 22 to 27% of teens, which is striking given that the survey measured higher thresholds of impairment that required endorsement of a lot of extreme impairment of daily activities or severe or very severe distress. Now, what he's saying here, the likely culprits are probably neurological damage and dysfunction because of toxic metals that are being put into these children from the immunizations they've received. Now, I agree with him 100%, and you can go ahead and you can read through this if you'd like. It's a very long article, and I don't want to go into detail with it because it really is too long. It says another aspect is aggressive marketing by drug companies, which has transformed mild depression and even sadness into a disease of serotonin deficiency. This potential for certain prescription medications increase the risk of psychiatric symptoms and suicidal disorders. And mental disorders among children are an important public health issue because of their prevalence, early onset, and impact on the child, the family, and the community. Guys, it's something that's unreal what's happening because we are now blaming parents for everything. And they're saying it's the parents' fault when these kids start acting like this. When indeed, it may not be the parents' fault. It may be the drugs that they're given as children that they were prescribed by their parents, by their nurses at their schools, which is illegal, or by their doctors that service these schools and giving them the basic drugs that are incredibly addictive, especially these multi things like Adderall and like Ritalin. Adderall is a multi amphetamine salt. I mean, this is some serious drugs we're giving these very young kids at the age of like 12 months, 18 months. The kid's hyperactive. He's going nuts. So we're going to give him some Adderall. He's 18 months old. Newsflash, 18 years old is supposed to be hyper. It's just how they live. It's how their brains develop. Why are you going to affect brain development? So now we've got an entire generation of drugged children, Austin, and now they're saying that 50% of them from the ages of 13 to 18 have some type of problem psychiatrically, which again leads them more to go into the medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex for the rest of their lives, and it gives the opportunity because of the Medical Information Bureau for them never to be allowed to own a firearm. Oh, I said that. Yep. And it's going to massively decrease the amount of these children that will actually be able to have children because the medications, the medications that they're being given cause massive impotency. So again, it's meeting the needs and the direction of the entire globalist as far as them wanting to reduce the population of the planet and get rid of people that can actually think. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, you nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing. This is why I say we got to look outside the box. We got to look down the road. We can't say, well, it doesn't really affect us that much right now, or this is a little bit of an issue right now. No, these are small issues that are becoming larger and larger and larger. That's why I said in 1986, when they passed the Hughes Amendment and banned all civilian purchase of machine guns made after 1986, everybody was pretty mad about that. But it really didn't affect a lot of people. The prices went up overnight, a lot, but not significantly. Now, 30 years later, everybody's going, oh my gosh, I can't believe we allowed that to happen. The same thing with the pharmaceuticals. In the 80s and 90s, they started playing around with these Schedule II drugs, Ritalin, stuff like that. Oh, you know, well, we've got to use it for some kids occasionally if they have real bad ADD. That's all we're going to use it for. So now, I mean, we put kids year, 2 years old on these drugs. And it's funny because the FDA, Big Pharma, all these guys, the war on drugs is nothing else but to make sure they funnel you into the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Remember, cocaine's a Scheduled I drug. You can't possess cocaine under any circumstances for any reason in any amount in any place in the United States without it being a felony. You understand what I just said there? It doesn't matter if you have residue of cocaine anywhere in the United States. It's a felony. But I can go to the doctor with my 2-year-old son and say, man, he's kind of hyperactive, he jumps around a lot, he's jumping up the wall, he chases my dogs with a broomstick, he tries to run them over with his car, and the doctor says, oh, that is okay, we have a perfect solution. We have 4 amphetamine mixed salts that are almost chemically identical and structurally identical as cocaine, but we have it in the pharmaceutical form, so it's legal. It's your lucky day. We'll put him on legal cocaine right now. You get him addicted on amphetamines for the rest of his life. We'll completely change his brain chemistry. We will make the pharmaceutical industry multimillionaires simply off just the purchase of this drug from you and your family over the course of their lifetime, and everything will work out perfect. But if when he turns 18, he cannot afford his very expensive prescription, and he decides to go over to a street drug known as cocaine, which is almost structurally identical as Adderall, and he chooses to use it, and he gets caught with it, we will throw him in prison for a felony, make him a convicted felon, and make sure he spends a considerable amount of time behind bars just because he possessed a drug that we said he couldn't have because he could not afford the Adderall. Think outside the box, guys. You have to look at what they're doing to us. This is not a 1-year plan or a 5-year plan or a 20-year plan. This is a century plan. This is a multi-generational plan. They don't care if they can't get it all dialed in by 2020. They'll push it out a couple years. If it misses the mark by 2030 with the UN, that's okay. They'll push it to 2040. They know, and they have everybody dialed in now, because a large percent of the population will not make a stand. That's why they do these really small beta tests with stuff. They see what they get away with. They see public reaction. They see the response in alternative media. Just like I said before, there's a reason why they built the monster Utah Mega Center data collecting agency from the NSA out there in Utah. It wasn't because they really care what you talk about your friend and what you bought for lunch today, and you're telling your wife what it's going to cost to change a belt on your car tomorrow. They don't care about any of that. They want to monitor and find out what everybody's talking about and see the response from everything they give everyone on the mainstream media, whether it be from pharmaceutical drugs, whether it be from the vaccine industry. It doesn't matter. They want to monitor everything, and that's why they do these beta tests. Perfect example of what we're seeing in Florida now, in Crestview, Florida. If you guys don't know where Crestview, Florida is, it's above Fort Walton Beach, and right above, a little bit west of Vero. It's off of I-10. Crestview, Florida is close to the Alabama-Georgia line, right off Interstate 10. And an unprecedented violation of the rights to citizens to be free from unlawful search and seizure, the Crestview Police Department in Florida has announced an incredibly dark program. They're saying now, driving safely is a reason for cops to pull you under the guise of giving you a free pizza coupon. I kid you not. Under this program, Crestview police officers may initiate a traffic stop based upon observing safe operation of a motor vehicle. They go on to say, we're going to reward you for driving good, Police Chief Tony Taylor says. It's as simple as that, nothing more. So pulling people over for driving safely, as you guys understand, is a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment. You've done nothing illegal. You've broken no statute. And this department is not just doing it to give pizza, as you guys can probably already figure out. They're conducting actual traffic stops. Here's the actual text of what they released from it here. Under the program, officers have standardized criteria to look for. Examples of safe operation. Officer Kimmon cites, including using hand-free devices or having children properly buckled up. Others include using a seatbelt, maintaining a safe following distance, courteous driving, proper use of turn signals, and observing the speed limit. Now, the next part about you, this is where it gets real weird. So safe drivers will only get the reward if they allow their rights to be violated and further submit to an illegal stop. So what they're saying is here, we're going to watch you drive perfectly safe. You're going to do everything right, and we're still going to pull you over under the guise of offering you free pizza. But here's the catch. When stopped, but this is their words, when stopped for safe operations of their vehicles, drivers are offered the opportunity to opt out of the program and are immediately allowed to leave under most circumstances. If they wish to participate, the officer will ask for the driver's license, vehicle registration, and proof of insurance. If all documents check out, the officer will present the driver with a certificate for a free Papa Murphy Faves pizza redeemable at the Crestview location. This, guys, is again another way to completely violate your Fourth Amendment, completely stop you from driving freely, unmolested on your way, and in my opinion, is a beta test to see what public opinion is going to see about this, to see how people are going to respond to it, and to give them an excuse to pull over law-abiding citizens for doing absolutely nothing, and then halfway through say, oh, by the way, you were driving safe, so I'm going to offer you a pizza coupon. By the way, do you have any weapons in your car? Just want to know. I want to make sure. Okay. Do you have any drugs or paraphernalia in your vehicle? Okay. Nothing in there. Okay, that's cool. All right. Well, here's your free coupon. You guys have a nice day. This is creepy. The fact that Crestview Police Department is even trying to play this off as something cool and hip and giving this to people is a joke. It should be a clear joke to everybody seeing this, but it's not. It's very, very real, and they're actively doing it right now, Dad. This is, again, another example of a beta test to make the population capitulate and get used to unlawful searches and or seizures in traffic violations for no justified reason whatsoever.
You know, I always so enjoy it when I'm driving down the road and the blue lights turn on behind me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, really? And sometimes they'll come around you because they're chasing somebody else, but it always makes me feel good on the inside. It doesn't cause me any stress at all. It doesn't make my heartbeat elevate. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope they pull me. Oh, I hope they pull me so I can get a pizza. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I'm so excited about this. I'm going to get a pizza now. They're going to give me an attaboy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Pull me, pull me. Please pull me next. What are they smoking? Cracking, Crestview? I mean, it's the fits being pulled over by a cop. Also, you have blue lights in the mirror, and you're like, oh, crap, what did I do? Well, you made a right-hand turn without using your turn signal. Well, I saw you do that 15 times in front of me. You never use your turn signal. We don't care. We're the police officers. We can do whatever we want to do. And I'm not saying they're all like that, because I know a bunch of great cops. But I'm saying that a lot of these guys going on a power trip, it's like you said, by the way, you're about to get a pizza. Can I look in your trunk? Can I look in your trunk before I give you a pizza? I want to see what's in your trunk. No pizza for you. What are you trying to hide? I'm pulling the dogs in now. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's stupid. Oh, by the way, here's an interesting article. This is an interesting article. It says, this is by a guy named Tom Knight. It says, if boys are broken, it's the left's fault. Actor Michael Ian Black, whoever that is, I've never heard of him, seems to believe the American boys are broken. And frankly, that may be true, but Black is of the opinion that the so-called toxic masculinity is the problem. In other words, they're acting like men. Too many boys are trapped in the same suffocating, outdated model of masculinity where manhood is measured in strength, and there is no way to be vulnerable without being emasculated, where manliness is about having power over others. Black writes at the New York Times, of course that says a lot about this article. They are trapped, these boys are, and they don't even have the language to talk about how they feel about being trapped, because the language that exists to discuss the full range of human emotion is still viewed as sensitive and or feminine. You know, it's funny, as someone who has written and studied a great deal about the topic of masculinity, I've yet to find anyone who thinks boys shouldn't talk about their feelings. Further, the idea that males lack the language to talk about their feelings is basically farcical. Black concludes and continues, men feel isolated, confused, and conflicted about their natures. Many feel that the very qualities that used to define them, their strength and aggression and competitiveness, are no longer wanted or needed. Many others never felt strong or aggressive or competitive to begin with, when we don't know how to be because we're all terrified. I mean, are you kidding me? These guys have nothing better to do than to come out here and write this garbage because they're saying these boys are confused. Well, let me paraphrase the article. Hey guys, not enough of you boys are turning queer yet. So we got to make sure we give you the opportunity to turn queer as quick as you can, because being queer is good, and being transgender is being better than queer. Now, if you can be both, if you can be a boy and a girl and be transgender, we got it made here now, boys and girls. So if you're feeling a little bit queer today, it's okay to be queer. If you're feeling like a girl today, it's okay to be a girl. You need to express those feelings and let people know just how messed up in the head you are, because that's the way you're supposed to be. And heaven forbid that you be a real man that could fight a real war and carry a real gun, and heaven forbid you ever in your entire life watch a John Wayne movie or a Clint Eastwood movie, because boys, that's not how real men act. Real men, when they're confronted in a situation, they get on their little bellies and they cry like little girls, and they roll over on their backs and they curl up in a little ball and go, not me, not me, not me. This guy is a sicko as far as I'm concerned, and I cannot believe that people like this get their articles published, and I cannot believe that I've even done it, that I've talked about it. But I read this and I was so hacked off, I thought, I gotta address this mess, guys. So no, guys, go out and hunt, take your kids to the gym with you, work out with them, keep them off the amphetamines as much as you possibly can as far as Ritalin and Adderall, if that's at all possible. Make sure they hang out with the right kids. Make sure you pray with them every day. Make sure you keep them in church and know who God is and who Christ is. And make sure you teach them how to be a godly husband and a godly father and a godly man. That's how you do all of this stuff. You don't teach them how to crawl on their bellies and act like little wimps. And you don't teach them that it's okay to be... Okay, I can't use any more words like this. I got to stop, Austin. What's your next story? What do you think?
You're exactly right. I'm not going to go there either, because you already know how my stance is on that, and I don't want to get banned or deleted off something else. I've already had enough issues with that. new articles now from DARPA. DARPA they don't ever want to stop. Like, they do research and then they're like, well, we should just take it a next step further. And most moral logical people go, you probably shouldn't take that any further. And they go, no, we definitely need to. We have an unlimited Pentagon budget, so we definitely need to take this further. Not because we should, but because we totally can. That's a paraphrase, but that's pretty much their attitude. The DARPA now wants to genetically modify sea creatures to snitch on enemy ships and submarines. U.S. military now wants to enlist fish and other aquatic life to help it track enemy submarines at sea. The Persistent Aquatic Living Sensors program could also modify existing species to make them better underwater spies. DARPA says the program will study natural and modified organisms to determine which ones could best support sensor systems to detect the movement of man underwater vehicles. They said if the military can develop a system for detecting ocean life's reactions to passing vessels, it could, in theory, monitor all of the world's oceans for enemy activity. Now I'm going to add dot, dot, dot. And every other aspect in the water. This isn't going to stop. You guys already understand. There's so many things that are wrong with this whole thing, what I'm about to tell you in a second, that this will not stop with monitoring enemy activity in the water. This is a way now that they can monitor what you're doing. Now you're going to be scuba diving down in Nassau, and some genetically modified dolphin's going to swim up to you with a camera strapped around. They're going to go, oh, there's Austin. He's scuba diving. He can't get away from us, even though his cell phone isn't with him. We got him this time. You got him. Oh, okay, we got him on camera. Send it to the NSA. Got it. Okay, that's what they're doing with this. They said that the evolution has given marine organisms the ability to send stimuli across domain that they want to tap into. Adam says that DARPA would not include endangered species and intelligent mammals under the program, but it's not clear at all how the agency defines intelligent. The U.S. Navy has already used dolphins and sea lions to find underwater mines and other objects. My question about that statement is, how how many dolphins and sea lions did we lose before they learned not to touch landmines or water mines that are on the ocean? That's kind of the aspect I want to know here. How many animals have we killed, like sea lions and dolphins, who we're not supposed to kill? Equally worrying, DARPA proposes to now modify species in order to optimize their senses for detecting man-made objects. The resulting breeds would essentially be genetically modified organisms and obviously could disrupt or even collapse existing ecosystems that are already fragile. Adam says that DARPA would create and test modified species strictly in contained biosecure facilities. But to actually deploy modified species, the military would have to release them into the wild where they could clearly drive out, out-eat, or outbreed unmodified species.
There you go.
Guys, the thing about this is marine animals should be left in the ocean, untreated and unmolested where they are. If we need to use them for specific food sources, that's one thing. But we don't need to be taking sea lions and dolphins and other types of aquatic animals and genetically modifying them so the Pentagon can use them to spy on every living being in the water or outside of the water. There's just a certain line that we shouldn't be crossing into. And in my opinion, this is a very, very clear one. We don't need to take any step further. We already have the most advanced weaponry, the most advanced surveillance, and the most advanced military in the entire world. Why do we have to start genetically modifying our sea creatures under the water now so they can spy on every living being in the water and outside of the water? I don't like this at all, Dad. But again, this is what I said earlier before the article. DARPA has no bounds. They have no restraints. They literally have an unlimited black budget through the Pentagon, and they do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. And in my opinion, the oversight with this agency is beyond astronomical. So when you see stuff like this, it just goes to show me, A, they have entirely too much money to play with. Really, they have entirely too much money. And B, they have no sense of morals or ethics when it comes to restrictions on things. That is another reason why DARPA should be massively muzzled and put on a choke chain. I wish Trump would do that. But again, beware of the military-industrial complex.
Remember Genesis chapter 6 and how they were breeding everything with everything, creating all these crazy things, and how Enoch, they even sinned against the reptiles, whatever that means. I'm sure some kind of sexual thing as far as maybe not having sex with them, but I'm sure it had to do with changing them genetically and modifying them. I mean, this is what they're going to do again. That's what the board says. The Bible says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And this is what these guys do. Their whole goal is to destroy everything God created to be good and make it evil, make it bad, destroy it all. They don't care how many thousands and thousands of species they eliminate. They do that all the time anyhow. They don't care. They don't care how many people they kill or species they eliminate or honeybees they destroy, spraying with chemtrails. Why do they care? They don't care. It's all part of the eugenics protocol anyhow to reduce the planet and also destroy everything that God made to turn what is good upside down to bad, so that every thought of every man will be evil all the time, just like it was in Genesis chapter 6. Now, by the way, we know how bad GMOs are. We've been telling everybody how bad they've been on for 10 years now. And now the mainstream media is basically blaming Russia for causing anti-GMO settlement in the United States. Everything we're going to blame on Putin. I mean, unbelievable. This is by Brandon Turberville. He goes, the American mainstream corporate media has turned into a literal madhouse in the period of the last 2 years. Any doubt whether or not mainstream media are actually propaganda outlets should have been erased around the 2016 elections. Taking the recent Russian hysteria as an example, mainstream outlets have now blamed Russia for almost everything, from the election, from Donald Trump, to fake news, conspiracy theories, and now, because Americans are waking up to genetically modified foods, it's Russia's fault. Unbelievable. Guys, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you. Now that we're not getting ammo from Walmart anymore, you might as well not buy your vitamins from Walmart anymore either, the Chinese vitamins. I think it's absolutely awful. You might as well start getting your vitamins through Health Masters. Thank you, by the way. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for praying for us. I had the privilege again of praying for all of you again this morning. I love you guys. I appreciate you. This has been one of those completely politically incorrect shows today, so I'll list it as such. I appreciate you. Also, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do the write-up. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate the support from all of our listeners, all of our friends, all of our family, all of our customers. Thank you, guys. Got a big show planned tomorrow for the Hagmans. I'll be running the first 2 hours, so I got a lot of different stuff to touch base on. Dad's going to take the last hour, so it'll be a good show. And be sure if you guys need anything, give us a check out on the website. You know, if you want to look at something, if you don't buy products from us, at least check it out, see if there's anything you're interested in. If you got a question, give us a call or send us an email. We try to keep up with the emails as best as possible. It's primarily myself, and then Dad dabbles in them occasionally, but I answer a lot of them. I get Harrison to answer some of them too now, just because we get so many. So I apologize if there's a delay, and that's why I tell everybody, if you haven't got an email back or you have a very specific question, if it's time sensitive, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We'll be more than happy to help you and push you in the right direction with whatever you need as far as supplements or nutrition advice. That's what we're here to do at Health Masters, is to try to help you guys out the best that we physically can do. Also, too, as I said yesterday, the product of the week, which is our organic non-GMO beet juice powder, is on sale for 10% off on the website. So if you guys wanted to get that, we've been out of stock on it for a while. We got it. It's here. Come check it out. Give it a shot. Really good for detoxifying the system and also for lowering blood pressure. Also, we have another fresh batch of the Purple Sticks coming in. I think tomorrow they're supposed to land. Tomorrow or Monday. We still have some in stock, but we have more coming in just because they go out so fast with you guys. Everybody loves them. Really good product. I've even had some people, too, say they've stacked that product with the Attention Factor that we have. And, you know, one or two capsules of the Attention Factor with one Purple Stick and gotten great results with it when they're really busy or trying to get stuff done and using it as a tool. So that's also an option there as well. So, of course, like I said, if you need anything, check out the website, healthmasters.com. Thank you for being there with us, and thank you for fighting with us, man. This is definitely not a not an easy task to keep pushing through this every day, to giving you guys the real true news of what's going on. Make sure that the truth is at least exposed for what's going on, and the lies are also exposed of what we're seeing on the mainstream media and how hard they're trying to push to take away all of our constitutional God-given rights. So we thank you for having our back on that. We thank you. Send these shows out. If you like one of the shows, send it to your friends. The more people we can wake up, the more people that we can get behind us and the patriot constitutional movement, the better off we're going to be in making sure the United States stays the greatest nation in the world. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. Have a blessed night. Have a safe night. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.